Amen. What a blessing. Thank you, Nixons. I'm not sure who's... I think this is yours, Tim. It's all right. All right. Now you have nothing to do but listen. All right. This is a great, great passage of Scripture. I was reading this passage to Martha Fryman just a few days before she went to be with the Lord. Seems like I have read this at funerals, read this many times as people are about to enter into heaven. But I don't think I've ever preached on this passage. I make reference to it all the time, but I don't think I've ever preached on this passage. And I thought, we have a lot of folks that have troubled hearts right now. The election, of course, the different ways people voted, the different lines of thinking. Obviously, the economy has affected many folks in Michigan. Certainly, there are health issues. We're seeing a lot of great victories. It's interesting as we think about your heart being troubled. We have some folks that have heart issues, literally, physically, heart problems, pacemaker issues. Of course, Brenda's mother will have a new pacemaker put in just a few months. And a lot of concerns there, a lot of things going on with that. Gene Raymond is at the University of Michigan Hospital, and they are looking at her heart. Her heart, the doctor said at the hospital in Toledo that it was at about 10%, and they're looking at all kinds of different things in reference to her heart. Certainly, physical heart issues are very much like spiritual heart issues. And so it says, let not your heart be troubled. My doctor tells me that I need to cut back on things that are fatty. Those are the things that traditionally are the best tasting things to me. Obviously, we all understand that kind of thinking. He's telling me that I need to eat more salads and vegetables and all that kind of stuff. And why? Because he says, well, we're trying to protect your heart. We want to protect that thing. And they have all these different diets that we're supposed to be on and all that because they want to keep us from having a troubled heart. Now, I'd like to help you today not to have a troubled heart spiritually. Now, I'm not going to preach to you about French fries and pizza and medium rare steaks. Anyway, I'm mainly not going to preach about that because I want you to pay attention and you start thinking about those things, and many of you get off in a daydream. You go into the land of chocolate and dwell there instead of listening to the Scripture. So I want to try to help you with your spiritual heart. And there are many similarities, a lot of things we look at. You know, as important as your heart physically is, your spiritual heart is important as well. And God says, let not your heart be troubled. Let not your heart be troubled. Father, I pray that you will help us today to think about the words that you have for us from your word. And I pray that we would get victory over troubled hearts. And Lord, that we would believe you and trust you. And I pray that we will get encouragement today and strength from thy word. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Many times we'll say, well, you know, this bothers me, or that bothers me. This is something that is troubling me. And, I think especially actually just a few weeks ago, we were able to say that we were outdoors and there were mosquitoes and they were flying. And I do not like getting bit by mosquitoes. It bothers me and it irritates me. And I think they're a curse from the Lord to keep us humble and all that kind of stuff. But when they start biting me, then I go in. My wife and I sit on the porch, and of course now they're all frozen, praise God. But they will thaw out, don't worry. But we sit out on the porch, and we'll sit out there until the first one. You can hear them buzzing around, and pretty soon you feel that they're landing on you and everything. And so what do? Well, I avoid them. I don't want to be troubled by mosquitoes. So I will avoid them. I'll get away from them. I'll go wherever they aren't. I'll spray all that stuff on and everything because I do not want to be around them. I try to avoid things that trouble me. That's not a bad idea, by the way. Try to avoid things if they trouble us. Now, God says here, let not your heart be troubled. Now, the fact that he says that means that I do have some control over it. I mean, can you understand that out of the Scripture here? If God says, let not your heart be troubled, that means I have some control over that. I don't have to have a troubled heart. I can have some kind of control over that. And just like something maybe you don't like, it being cold outside, you don't like that cold feeling, so you can go in where it's warm. You and I can control how troubled our heart really gets. There are things that we can do. We can avoid that which is troubling to our heart. You've heard me say that many times I will, especially on a Sunday, I won't read editorials. I won't read letters to the editor, because I don't want to be troubled. Sometimes I won't even read the newspaper. I'll avoid, if it says things are bad, I'll turn the page. I don't necessarily want to get behind the pulpit and have a troubled heart. I want my heart to be right. I want my heart to be pure. I want to be encouraging, and I want to try to help encourage you folks. I find that avoiding negative is not a bad thing. It is letting not my heart be troubled. It is stopping something that bothers me, that might trouble me, and avoiding it. By the way, sin troubles your heart too. Sin troubles your heart like French fries troubles your physical heart. Amen. I mean, sin is a real problem. And so, again, if you don't want to have a troubled heart, you get away from sin. If you don't want to have a troubled heart, you avoid sin. You get away from it. You stay away. Again, let not your heart be troubled. I have some control over that. Fearful things. Let not your heart be troubled. If fearful things, if things that are, as far as you say, well, the economy, don't pay a whole lot of attention then. Just keep going. Keep doing your best and work hard. And avoid negative people. There are so many negative folks out there. And I find that when I don't want to have a troubled heart, and maybe I myself am going through a trial, maybe I'll stay away from some folks because they're just always so negative. I'm just saying there is control. And we do have some kind of control over a troubled heart. Because God says, let not your heart be troubled. He is telling us, don't do it. Okay? So just like for example, you start to feel chest pain. And I'm not going to ask for a show of hands how many folks have, you go into the hospital and into the emergency room and you say, I'm having chest pain. I mean, everything changes real fast. I mean, they've got lines running you and they're dripping stuff in you. And I mean, they're checking this and checking that. And I mean, everybody's coming in. All you did was say, well, I have chest pain. Ah, and it's a panic thing. When your spiritual heart starts to be troubled, have you ever thought about maybe you better check out the emergency room? And because God says, don't let your heart get troubled. God says, hey, look, avoid your heart being troubled. I remember one time when they thought I was having a heart attack, they put nitro under my tongue, just quickly. And another time they used a spray, which I think was the same thing, and they said lift up your tongue, and they're spraying that stuff in there. And I mean, it's like we got to get on this thing. Isn't it amazing how the doctors think our physical heart is so important that they will make it an emergency and they will do everything they can, and yet you and I as Christians, as soon as our heart gets troubled, we don't see any problem there. We just kind of go on and don't do anything about it. I'm telling you today, we need to do something about it because God says, let not your heart be troubled. God says you should not walk out of here with a troubled heart. God says that you and I should not go through the day with a troubled heart, but yet we ought to do whatever we need to do to get our heart out of trouble. Because it's our heart. And notice Proverbs 4, verse 23. I'm still on the introduction. Proverbs 4, verse 23. It says, keep thy heart with all diligence. What's that? Keep there. The idea of keepers in the Bible were like guards. And those, the keepers of the jail, they would guard that jail. They would keep that prisoner. Here, keep thy heart, guard your heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. I mean, your very being is your spiritual heart. And it's so important. And yet we'll have a troubled heart and we'll come to church all bent out of shape and upset and worried. And maybe it's our health. Maybe it's the election. Maybe it's the economy or something like that. And we'll just walk out the same as when we came in. I mean, if you're having a heart attack, you shouldn't walk out of the emergency room the same as you came in. You should go in there, get treatment, and then go out. All right. I remember when I went through all that, and they didn't say, "Oh, you have chest pain." Well, good. We know that now. You can leave. They don't do that. They ran a bunch of tests. They said, "Well, sir, one of these tests is showing a little bit odd, but it's okay. We're going to just let you go home." They didn't do that either. No, they ran more. Come out very well, but you know, we really don't want to deal with it right now, so you can go on home. No, they didn't do that either. They ran more tests. And you know, it wasn't long, and they were going up into going up through an artery and going up and looking at everything. Yeah, why? Because that heart's important. They don't just say, "Well, go ahead and go home. It'll be all right." Well, you know, if you have any more problems with it, we know you've got problems. We know. But actually, one doctor one time, he said, "You know, you did just have a heart attack," which, by the way, I didn't. But he said, "You had a heart attack, but it's okay. You're in the hospital now. It's safe." It made me feel great. By the way, that doesn't make you feel great. I mean, you know, hey, let's fix this thing. Why aren't we that way about our spiritual heart? I mean, if God says, "Keep thy heart with all diligence," if God says, "Hey, you need to really pay attention to this thing, you need to be very, very concerned about your spiritual heart," because, you know, there's folks, I mentioned this in our Sunday school class this morning, there's folks not sitting here today because they did not keep their heart. And their heart became troubled, and today they're out of church, they're away from God, their life is a mess, their heart just continues to be troubled because they never did anything about the trouble that their heart was in. If your heart's troubled today, don't leave with your heart troubled. If your heart's troubled today, the spiritual EKG says you need to get that thing fixed. I mean, if your heart's troubled today, you need to get in the Word of God, which we're going to do here in John chapter 14, and you need to get that thing taken care of. Because again, a troubled heart, it doesn't necessarily mean you're worried. It doesn't necessarily mean that you are anxious about something. It just means there's trouble in your heart. And it needs to be fixed. And it needs to be fixed today. Let not your heart be troubled. Go back to John chapter 14 and... It says, "Let not." And by the way, it's not only showing us here that we have control over this. And I want you to understand, you do. Because we will sit here and say, "Well, I can't help what I'm going through." Yeah, but you can keep it from being trouble. Hello? You say, "Well, I can't help the trials. I mean, God's letting me go." Oh, I understand that. God is letting you go through that. I understand. And you're not going to go through it unless God does let it happen. But understand, if God is watching over this thing and God is in control of this thing, which He is, you still have the command of God not to be troubled by it. You still have the command of God not to let it overcome you and trouble you to the point where you can't make it anymore. To the point where you get bitter and quit church. To the point where you get bitter and quit reading your Bible and quit talking to God. To the point where you backslide. You look, if your heart is troubled today, you need to get it right with God and get it untroubled. And every one of us must do that as obedience to God. Let not. We know we have control, or He wouldn't have told us, "Let not." And He gives us a command, "Let not." People come, "Well, you know, my heart's troubled." Okay, let's get it fixed today. Well, you know, I'm worried about, okay, well, let's get that right with God today. But I'm concerned because of, okay, let's get that settled today. Because if we don't, we're disobeying God. He says, "Let not thy heart be troubled." It is a sin to disobey God. I mean, you know, every one of us deals with this all the time. A trial comes and our heart gets troubled, but we don't have to keep our heart troubled. That's where we have control over this thing. That's where we can do what God says, and we can guard that heart and get the trouble out of there. Does that mean the trouble is going to leave us? Oh no, the trouble can be all around us, but it's not going to trouble my heart. I'm not going to fret about it. I'm not going to worry about it. I'm not going to let sin control this thing. I'm going to take charge, and I'm going to keep my heart. I'm going to guard my heart. I'm going to protect my heart. I'm going to stay away from negative. I'm going to stay away from things that might lure me away and get my heart in trouble. I'm going to avoid those kind of things, and I am going to keep my heart from being troubled. I'm going to do whatever I have to do. You know, when my doctor told me some of these things and started talking about diet and all this stuff, I actually paid attention. Why? Because I've gotten used to my heart beating. I like it beating. Okay, for 50 years, it's been beating. Amen? And you know, when the doctor starts saying, hey, this could plug things up there, that concerns me. I'm telling you, if God says to me to keep my heart with all diligence, to guard it and to let it not be troubled, I must somewhere along the line figure out that if my heart gets troubled, I'm in trouble. And I need to do something about it. And you know, the thing is, we'll say, preacher, you know, you're telling me that if my heart's troubled today, that's a sin. You know, it is, because God says, don't let it be troubled. You say, we need comfort today. No, we need the truth every time we come to church. And the truth is, we need to get this thing settled with God. Whatever it is that troubled you, whatever it is that troubled your heart, get it settled with God. If it's sin, get right with God. If it's fretting over the election, then get that right with God. You know, God's in control of this thing. The powers that be are ordained of God. Let God be God and let Him deal with America how He sees fit. Did you do right and vote? You say, well, I didn't. Okay, then you need to get that right with God. But the point is, whatever it is that is troubling your heart, whatever it is that's causing it to beat too fast, again, just comparing with the physical, or causing something to not be right with it, then we need to get that right. You hear it all the time. You know, well, I need to get my heart right. By the way, when you're in the hospital and you have heart problems, I mean, that's the big thing. You know, when I was in the hospital and they thought I had heart problems and everything, my assistants would come in and say, well, Pastor, I guess you need to get your heart right. Ha, 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 ha. You know, but in reality, that is the truth. And it's true physically and it's true spiritually. Let not your heart be troubled. Whether it's your physical heart, we go see a physician. Or whether it's our spiritual heart, and we need to get in the Word of God. If your heart is troubled because of finances, if you've been watching the Dow Jones, and oh, my retirement is all gone, it's going to be wiped out and everything. You know, God says, let not your heart be troubled. And you know what? A troubled heart never has changed somebody's financial situation. Hello. I mean, if you can sit and worry about it, but it ain't going to change your IRA. I have a small Roth IRA. My wife and I do, and it's not anything huge or anything like that, and especially now. It was sort of decent, but now it's just about gone. You say, what'd you do when you saw the report? Well, I avoided it for a long time because I didn't want my heart to be troubled. And so I avoided it, but finally it came in the mail, and I opened it up. I mean, I've been, you know, I know on the internet I could have looked, but I looked and I saw it. And you say, what'd you do? I laughed. You know why? It wasn't as bad as I thought. It's still bad, but it wasn't as bad as I thought. And the truth of the matter is, okay, Lord, you're in control of this thing. You know how this works. I mean, it's not up to Edward Jones. It's up to God. The economy is up to God. Your economy is up to God. And having and sitting and worrying about it is not going to change it. So you might as well get it right with God and rejoice. Anyway, amen. Amen. Your heart's troubled because of your health. And you know, every time you... Do you know there's... I guarantee in a group this large, there's people who won't even go to the doctor because you know something's wrong. Now, I do not understand that. I really don't. I've never understood that. I counsel people like that. Well, you know, are you going to go to the doctor about that? Oh, no, I don't want to know. You don't want to know? Nope. Now, by the way, that's your business. If you don't want to know, that's fine. But I want to know if there's a cure for whatever I have. Amen. And it's amazing how we'll get on the internet or we'll get some big, thick medical book. One of the most dangerous things in the world are these medical books. Now, I'm serious about that. I mean that. My wife has diagnosed me dead several times because of these big medical books. I mean, they're about that thick, you know, and she looks at all my symptoms and looks it all up, you know, and, honey, I think you have, and she pronounces this long word, and I say, well, what's, you know, that's fine, I don't mind, but what's the end? She said, well, death. By the way, that is the end. I mean, it is the end for all of us, right? But some of you identify with that big medical book because you've experienced that yourself. Look, I'm just saying, whatever it is today, maybe you're a bus kid and your home's a wreck. Maybe you're not a bus kid and your home's a wreck. Maybe your home is just a wreck. Let not your heart be troubled. You know, you're in a place where you can, okay, you may not be able to do anything about that home. You may not be able to do anything about that step-parent. You may not be able to do anything about that teenager. You may not be able to control the situation around you, but God says you can control your heart. God says you can control whatever's going on here in your heart. If it's bitterness, God says you can leave it at the altar and you can go on. If it's sorrow and pain and you're just discouraged, God says you can rejoice evermore. And you can rejoice in the Lord always. You can do that. You may not be able to control the circumstances around you, and probably more than likely you can't control them. But you can control your heart. You can control the troubling of your heart. And you know, no child of God should continue having a troubled heart. Whatever it takes to get over the troubling in your heart, you need to do it. And I believe it starts here in this passage. One of the key words is believe. You know, we have to trust the Lord with our heart. We have to trust the Lord with whatever is troubling us. We cannot control what's going on around us. Again, think about the Christians in the early church. Read the book of Acts. Read history books about the early church. And God's people went through terrible persecution, losing their lives, losing more than a job, losing their lives, losing their families. I'm talking about unbelievable persecution. How'd they make it, preacher? They made it by rejoicing and praising the Lord. How can they do that with a troubled heart? They didn't have a troubled heart. They had troubling circumstances, but they got their hearts right with the Lord. And you know, that's the key. You can make it through any trial if you keep your heart right. You can make it through any trouble if you keep your heart right. Oh, there's trouble, but your heart doesn't have to be troubled. Again, it starts with that word believe. And so number one, believe in God. That's what he says. Let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God. Believe in God. You know, there's a lot of reasons this morning for burdens and troubles and things that bother our hearts. But God, who controls all of the situation, he's my God. Believe him. Believe in God. And he wants me to believe in him. He wants me to trust him. He wants me to know that everything's under control. Not, he doesn't want me to believe simply that he exists. He wants me to believe so that I trust him. I mean, come on. Wednesday morning, some of you got up and it was like the world had ended. It didn't end. And you know what? He's still on the throne. Believe in God. Do we really believe in God? Sometimes I think things happen, and I really believe this, just so that we can really decide, yeah, I really do believe in God. Well, do you? Preacher, my job is in trouble, and all the... Okay, believe in God. Believe in God. By the way, I can preach this today because my heart has been troubled. And I've had to get it right with God. And it starts with, okay, God, I really do believe you. I've received the layoff slips. I've heard the words, there's no work. I've had the bills come that could not get paid. And you know, ultimately, what do you do? Well, you just believe in God. Hey, he either can do it or he can't do it. Is he God or is he not God? Is he the God that created everything, or is he a little God you put in a box that you conveniently bring out every now and then, maybe on Sunday morning? Hey, is he real or not? You say, but you don't understand my trial. But I do understand a God that can get you through that trial, and a God that will put his arms around you and comfort you through that trial, and he'll strengthen you so you can make it. Don't let your heart get troubled. Believe in God. Believe in God. Trust him. Trust him. You say, yeah, but I don't see how. Look, you don't have to see how. You have to believe that God can do it. Do you understand Al Moran is home today? It won't be long and Al Moran's going to be brought into a church service. That's tough. It's not an easy situation for Kathy, and you need to really pray for her. But do you understand how impossible in June, how impossible that is? That was impossible. Doctors said he will live 2 months. Doctors were sure of it. They said, well, he'll be in this nursing home, but it'll be the last place. And it was very hard for them. Now, I watch Kathy Moore, and, you know, you talk about your heart being troubled. Yeah, her heart was troubled. But she decided not to let her heart be troubled. She decided to believe in God. And, you know, doctors came in and you know, they gave all the sad things and all the negative. And they were just telling the truth. I mean, that was the truth. They weren't lying to her. But she refused to have a troubled heart. And she said, well, you know what? I'm just going to keep going. And I'm going to bring Al home. Now, folks, I'm just saying this. You can sit and you can fret and worry about everything, but there comes a time where we need to leave our troubled heart in the hands of God. Believe in God. Believe in God. You know the closest thing to Christian atheism that I can think of is, well, I just don't know how I'm going to do it. Where's God in that? I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. Well, you haven't seen my bills. I don't have to. I've seen God's checkbook. And his balance is high. The cattle on 1,000 hills, I don't know how many cows that is, but it adds up. Pearly gates, streets of gold. You don't have to. You know, we don't have to figure everything out. We just need to work and just keep doing all we can do and let God do what he can do. And he can do anything. You suppose the children of Israel, as the Egyptians are coming and the Red Sea is behind and the Egyptians with their chariots and their swords coming at them to kill them, you suppose they might have scratched their head and said, you know, I'm not real sure how we're going to get out of this. I'm sure many of them fretted and worried and their hearts were troubled and they were bothered by it. And really, nobody would have thought that the Red Sea is going to part. That's because they couldn't figure out how Moses would part it. You know, Moses, especially back in those days, they didn't have, you know, any kind of means to part the waters of a sea. I suppose they'd cause us a little trouble today, too, although the liberals try to explain it away how it all happened. But, well, how did it happen, preacher? God did it. God just part. That's all God has to do. He just tells it. He's God. You know, God can do that with your life too. God does do that often. Well, how can I make it on this little paycheck? Well, the same way that David killed Goliath, I guess. I'll be honest with you. I've made it on little paychecks many, many times where you just say, how in the world did that just happen? You know, I've had to tell people many times. Now, I think everybody ought to have a budget, but there are times when if you wrote it down, you'd never figure out how it all happened. Because God does some things in there. I'm just saying, there is really a God. Believe in God. Well, preacher, you know, how are we going to survive these high utility prices? I guess the way that Daniel made it through the lion's den. I'm not saying that the gas company is the lion, but that roar can be pretty threatening. Huh? Well, you know, yeah, but I don't know how, you know, my health is not good. Well, I guess you'll have to be like Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Something miraculous is going to happen. Amen. And you know what? God has done this to help his people throughout the years. Believe in God. Believe in God. Believe in God's perfect grace. You know, God giving to us though we do not deserve it. Believe in that. God standing for us. And you knowing that he's there so that your heart's not troubled. Yeah, there's sorrow because of trials. But I don't have to be troubled by that. Somebody asked me, said, I've talked before about preaching my grandparents' funerals and my parents' funerals. And said, how'd you do that? I don't know. I didn't feel like anybody else should do it. I felt like I should. And I guess God was with me. I preached my best friend's funeral. I preached deacons that I love very dearly. I preached their funerals. And yeah, you said, well, was it hard? Well, yeah, it's hard. But God takes care of it if you just let him. Sure, I had to fall on my face many times and beg God to help me not to have a troubled heart and to help me not to fear and to help me not to worry and to help me not to fret about these things. And many times had to get right with God because the troubling in my heart was because of some carnal thing and sin in my life. And God, forgive me of this. And Lord, I don't want to have a troubled heart because I want my heart to be solid so I can do something for you. Believe in God. He says, then believe also in me, the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, you might be here and you've never been saved. You don't even understand what I'm talking about. But Jesus died on the cross to pay for your sins. Verse 6 says, Jesus saith unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. I'm telling you, if you don't have Jesus as your Savior, you will not find a cure for your troubled heart. You will die with a troubled heart. You will go to a place called hell with a troubled heart. You'll never have a cure till you come to Jesus and believe him and trust him. So many in the world have troubled hearts, and it's because they're not saved. They're troubled because of guilt. They're troubled because of things that happened in the past and sorrow, and they have no way to get that heart fixed until they trust Jesus Christ as Savior. I beg you today, if you've never been saved, you know, with all that's going on in our world, and to be honest with you, I think it's going to get worse. Boy, you need Jesus as your Savior. You need the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior. You need to call upon him, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. If you're not saved today, I beg you to get saved. In just a few minutes, we'll give an invitation. You'll have an opportunity to come. Someone will take a Bible and they'll show you how to be saved. And I trust you would make that decision today because you can't even begin to understand what I'm talking about. You say, man, this guy's crazy. I mean, I'm all these problems and trials and everything else. We ought to worry. We ought to be afraid. Oh, but you don't have to. And you need the Lord Jesus as your Savior. Notice what else he says here. He says, not only believe in God, believe also in me. But he says, number three, he says, believe in heaven. Believe in heaven. Verse 2, in my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. Hey, Jesus doesn't lie. He said, in my Father's house are many mansions. Believe in heaven. There's a land that is fairer than day, and by faith we can see it afar. Oh, I see it. I'll tell you what, I see it in my mind. I see it in my heart. I'm going to tell you, a lot of times when my heart starts to get troubled, I just start thinking about heaven. I'll be honest, Wednesday, I did a lot of thinking about heaven. I did a lot of thinking about the rapture. I did a lot of thinking about Jesus coming back and going to heaven. In my Father's house, can you imagine the Father's house? Are many mansions. You know, I'm not talking about pup tents. I'm talking about mansions. I'm talking about great big mansions. And he says he's going to prepare a place for us. It's got to be great. Can't even imagine what that's going to be like. I know one thing. I know there will be no sorrow there. I know there will be no tears there. I know there will be no sickness there. I know there will be no pain there. I mean, come on. All of us have something in our cabinet for pain. Right? Tylenol, aspirin. I mean, we have something in our cabinet for pain. Can you imagine a place where there is no pain? Can you imagine not having a headache? Can you imagine not getting up in the morning and going, oh! can you imagine not getting up and going, oh, right? Boy, isn't that going to be great? No glasses. No going to the dentist. This past couple weeks, I've had to go to the dentist a couple times. And you know, he's very, very merciful. But it's just hard to be merciful when you're sticking a shot in somebody's gum. Right? It's hard to be merciful when you stick a needle in somebody's roof of their mouth. Little pinch. Little. They always say that. Now they got this new technique of wiggling your cheek. You know, and it's not supposed to hurt. Right? Yeah. You know what? Won't be any of that. No. I'm not saying there's no dentists in heaven. That wouldn't be nice. But there's no need for their work. Amen. You know, believe in heaven. Do you really believe in heaven? No hospitals. Huh? No emergency rooms in heaven. No funeral homes in heaven. No cemeteries in heaven. No sin in heaven. Sometimes when my heart starts to get troubled, I just start to think about what it's going to be like in heaven. Mom's there, Dad, Grandma and Grandpa, Brother Ken. Good night. So many people. Whenever we go someplace, especially someplace we've never been, first time we went to Australia, I remember getting all kinds of little flyers and brochures and different things and looking up things and looking at what we wanted to see and what we wanted to do. And, of course, my wife wanted to touch and pet a koala bear and wanted to frolic with the kangaroos and all that kind of stuff. She actually wants to ride in a kangaroo's pouch someday, but scary. But we, you know, we thought about Australia. We thought about what it was going to be like, and we dwelt on that quite a bit. And just we went literally in our mind. Same way when we went to Hawaii, we went in our mind before we ever went in person. You know, I do that with heaven. Often, I go in my mind to heaven. Now, again, I realize my mind is very, 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 very limited in the scope of heaven. But God tells us enough about it that I'm pretty excited. See, you know, your heart's troubled. Believe in heaven. Do you really believe in heaven? Do you really believe that's where we're going to go when we die? Because, you know, much of our troubling in our heart is over death. Believe in heaven. Believe in God. Believe also in me. Believe in heaven. Number four, believe Jesus is coming. He says, if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again. I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. I will come again. The blessed hope could be soon. Jesus coming. He is coming. Could be soon. In the moment, in the twinkling of an eye. Can you imagine? I mean, I think about the rapture many times. I dwell on that. I think about that. I think about, especially as, you know, when you talk to an unbeliever and they kind of mock you and you know, make fun. And in my mind, often I will think, I wish the rapture would take place right while we're talking. But then I stop and think, but that person's lost and they need to get saved. But, you know, the world is going to go through a time where all Christians are going to just be gone. They'll have an explanation. We've learned how the media can spin anything. They can make people believe anything, you know. But here's what I believe. I believe Jesus is coming. Now, he may not come until after I die, but he is coming. He said he would, and he is coming. He said, I will come again. Now, you know, when your heart starts to get troubled, Jesus is coming. He's coming. You know, you read the paper, you watch the news, it looks like. I'll be honest, those two proposals, that totally blindsided me. I got to be honest with you, I did not expect that. I voted no on both of them. You got to be careful, you know, you got to watch out for that stuff. There could be people listening. Actually, I hope they do because they would have heard the gospel several times already this morning. But I've, you know, those proposals totally, I thought, Oh, well, yeah, that's not even anything. That's kind of a no-brainer. Everybody's going to vote no on those. Now, if you're here right now and you voted yes, I'm not saying you don't have brains. I'm just saying I wish you would have had them turned on. I cannot, for the life of me, and it blindsided me, honestly. I did not expect that at all. I thought that's easy. This is no problem at all. And when those passed, it just made me think, Jesus, you got to come soon. That could have troubled my heart big time. That could have troubled my heart. The fact that we're murdering little babies inside their mother's womb. More, and it's going to get worse. I'm convinced it's going to get worse unless Jesus comes. But you know, again, you say, preacher, you said your heart was troubled. Yeah, and I stopped it because I believe Jesus is coming again. I can tell you this, we get to heaven, there won't be massacres of the innocent. Yeah. Believe Jesus is coming. Now, you know, we keep serving. We're not saying... to do what the the Millerites back in the 40s, they predicted a date that Jesus was coming, and they all dressed up in white gowns, and they put their cows in white gowns. I don't find anywhere where cows are going to go, but anyway, in the rapture. But and they all just waited, you know, sold everything, and then they all just waited, you know, and he didn't come then. No, I'm saying work for the night is coming. Work for Jesus is coming. And but if your heart's troubled, hey, he said, I will return. I will come again. And then the last thing, believe in God's peace. Here's what has helped my troubled heart more than anything. And that's verse 27. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give unto you. Not as the world giveth. How's the world give it? Well, and usually it's in a bottle. Yeah, it's usually in the form of a prescription. Hello? Not as the world giveth, give I unto you. By the way, the problem with the prescription peace, it wears off. And it's not real peace. Hello? God's peace is, he says, it's my peace I give unto you. Not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. Believe in God's peace until he comes. It's the peace that passeth understanding. It's a supernatural calm right in the midst of the storm. It's the widow who is 22 years old, about to have their first child, and her husband lays in the casket, and she stands there as people come by, and she smiles, and she thanks him for coming. And somebody comes, and she puts her arms around him and says, it'll be all right. It's okay. And I remember as being just a young pastor watching, and I thought, how is she doing that? And I remember getting alone with God in my office later on, weeping and saying, God, how is she doing that? How can she comfort others when she just lost her husband? And there's a little, in the corner of the casket, there was a little bouquet of flowers that said, Daddy, how can she? God, I don't understand how. And I learned about God's peace there. You know when it says a peace that passes understanding, that's exactly what it is. Because you say, people say, how are you going through this? I don't know. I really don't know. It's just God. It's just God. Hey, believe in that peace, because I'm telling you, that's how you can walk out of here without a troubled heart. Some of you need to get on an altar today and say, God, I need that peace the preacher talked about. I need that peace. I have known that peace so many times. You've heard me talk about preaching my best friend's funeral service. He was 30 years old when he was killed in a car wreck right in front of our church. You've heard me tell of going to the cemetery, and I, of course, I preached the funeral. Everything was fine. I preached the there at the cemetery. We had the little service there. But then immediately, I mean, it hit me. And I stood there alone. But there were arms around me. Now, I'm not trying to be spooky or anything like that. There were no physical arms, and I know that. And I did not look, and there was Jesus. But I knew He was there. And I had peace. I can't explain it other than hallelujah. How many people quit because somebody dies? How many people quit serving God because of a death? How many people quit reading their Bible because they feel God let them down? How many people quit trying to do what God wants them to do because things didn't go the way they wanted? And you know where it all started? It started with a troubled heart. You saw the signs. You knew what was going on, but you never got it right. You never dealt with it. God says this morning, let not your heart be troubled. In other words, get it untroubled. Get it untroubled today. Let's bow our heads, please.